You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
We're just here surviving the heat wave.
Oh my gosh, turn it off.
I mean, truly, not the AC, although maybe the AC. I do keep getting reminders from the city of Los Angeles. It's like, hey, we're afraid that the city is going to have a blackout. Turn all your shit off.
I mean, I would, but honestly, well, one, I have two dogs. There's no way I could leave my dogs at home with no AC all day. And secondly, our one AC that we have in our living room is barely doing anything. Like, it's keeping the apartment at a livable
right. Hot. Yeah.
Oh my God. Even just cooking pasta last night, uh-huh. I was dripping over the pot. I'm like, don't drip into the sauce.
I mean, it's just you and Max, right? That's fine. I feel
we
like-
just talked about how like type A he is about stuff. He would not be cool with sweat in the sauce.
He would never know. He'd be like, it's a little saltier than usual.
That's I would know.
Would never know. But no, I mean, like, even if you can't, I guess we're coming in hot with a PSA right from the top. But like, if you can't not run your AC because it is ridiculously hot, like yeah. It has been. I'm sure everyone who doesn't live in a place where there's a heat wave right now is sick of everyone talking about it. But it has been like over 100 degrees for like a week.
Yeah.
And so it's not always possible to like not run your AC if you have it or whatever, but just make sure you're turning off lights if you're not using them.
Yeah, for sure.
Or whatever else, because
it's insane. It's absolutely insane. I'm getting really sick of it. It's just exhausting.
Yeah, it's supposed to break, I think, on the day this episode comes out.
Perfect.
It's supposed to break on Friday, I think. Don't hold me to it.
Let's look forward to it. Hopefully, by the time we're listening back to this episode, everything will be A-okay in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, if not, just catch me at the beach, because that's what I did last weekend.
Yeah, for real. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. You got to get either in a body of water or near a body of water, like ASAP.
Which is my favorite anyway.
Right?
But, all right.
Should we get into some news topics?
Let's do it. This is the first news topic that I have to talk about today. Both of my news topics are actually pretty good. So this one is that a judge in New Mexico on Tuesday disqualified a man named Cuy Griffin. I don't know how you say his name. It's okay. C-O-U-Y. Cuy? Coy?
Cowie?
Cowie? It doesn't matter.
I feel like Cowie, but then that doesn't sound right. It sounds like I'm calling someone a cow.
Mr. Griffin.
Great. Yeah.
So a New Mexico judge on Tuesday disqualified him, who he's a county commissioner. He had apparently founded something called Cowboys for Trump. And he disqualified him from serving in public office ever again. He has been barred for life, effective immediately under the 14th Amendment, because he took part in the insurrection after taking his oath as a county commissioner. So this makes him the first official in more than 100 years to be removed under the Constitution's bar on insurrectionists holding office.
Wow.
Which is a really good thing. So This is a little known provision that was included in the wake of the Civil War as a way to exclude those who were part of the Confederacy from holding public office again. It was used in the 1860s, but has been very rarely invoked since the 1860s.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah. So per the court filing, though Griffin, Mr. Griffin, did not personally engage in violence, he, quote, incited, encouraged, and helped normalize the violence on January 6th, citing his participation in chants and filming videos of himself at the Capitol for social media. The judge who disqualified him, Judge Francis Matthew, wrote, quote, he took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States and then engaged in that insurrection after taking his oath.
Mm-hmm.
So his removal from office was called for by the NAACP last month after the Otero County Commissioner was convicted for breaching the U.S. Capitol. The NAACP also alleged that he tried to disenfranchise voters, which is something that he did do. And again, it's this very worrying, very dangerous trend that we have seen cropping up all over as like midterm elections were happening. And as we can expect to see with the presidential election, people on the right are just straight up not conceding. They're just like, nope, it's rigged. I'm just, you know, I'm going to just say that I won. There's another woman.
Trump started a trend.
Yeah. Another woman. I think her name is Lori Loomer. If you have not looked her up. Because she basically did the same thing. Can't remember what state she's in, but she basically was like, nope, I didn't lose. I'm going to Congress because I didn't lose. That's my seat.
What do you do?
I mean, they're not gonna let her in there, but it's right. Just, it is a very worrying thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's led to this place where we've got dark Brandon Biden calling the far right fascists because of things like this. So it's a really, really good thing that we are telling public officials that you cannot be a part of a coup against your country after taking an oath to uphold the Constitution and ever hold public office again. You know, that's what I hope we do with Trump. It's like, you can't do this. Like
You can't put our country in jeopardy and then turn around and take power again. It just doesn't make any sense.
You can't facilitate a coup against the country that you want to lead.
Yeah. But I truly can't see Trump being able to run again. But I feel like every time I think of that, I'm like, oh God, who worse is going to take his place? That's always my first thought. It's like Trump is in and of itself terrible, but all of his followers are even scarier.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I do think he is going to try to run again. Did you see that Fox and Friends clip? It's wild times we are living in. So Fox and Friends, who we all remember from the Trump presidency, they were basically just like, they let Trump get on and rant about things constantly. They were just yes people to Trump throughout. And one of the people on Fox and Friends just stated a real statistic from polling, which, as we know, is flawed. But he was like, you know, the majority of Republicans are now polling that they would not vote for Trump.
Interesting.
Or like, yeah, that they would vote for Ron DeSantis or somebody ahead of him. And immediately after that, one of the other people on Fox and Friends was like, now listen, Mr. President, because I know you watch, like, just those aren't our numbers.
We got
those numbers from CNN. We're just repeating the numbers.
We believe in you, Mr. President. Yeah. We still think that you are so number one in our hearts and in our lives. Yeah. So don't even worry.
So maybe those numbers aren't even real. I mean, we just don't want to make you mad. Don't want to make daddy mad.
God, don't say daddy.
Well, listen, that's kind of how these people.
I know, but it's like.
Noah Bookbinder, who's the president of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
I wonder what his family did historically for a living.
I thought the same thing. Bookbinder. I'm like, well, there you have it. I love those non-creative last names where they're just like shoemaker and you're like, great.
We know exactly what your family did. Great.
Yeah. So he helped to represent New Mexico residents in the lawsuit against Griffin, because New Mexico is actually, for all of its faults and all of its weirdness.
Right.
You know, because my family is from New Mexico.
You were born there.
I was born there. It is a blue state.
Yeah.
Mostly. I mean, I think it's sometimes been purple, but it is largely a blue state. So right. The residents had a lawsuit against Griffin, and Noah Buchbinder summed it up perfectly, saying, quote, "This decision makes clear that any current or former public officials who took an oath to defend the U.S. Constitution and then participated in the January 6th insurrection can and will be removed and barred from government service for their actions." And the court's decision sent a message that powerful people can't rise up against the execution of the laws of the United States and the peaceful transition of power without consequences. And the country needs to be protected against those who would undermine our democratic principles.
Exactly.
So here's hoping. I mean, this guy, it is a very good thing, because Cooey Griffin, whoever that is, cowboy for Trump, he was planning on running for sheriff.
It's got to be county. Cowley. Cowboy, Cowley.
It doesn't have an L in it. It's just C-O-U.
Oh, Cowie. It's got to be Cowie.
Why? Yeah.
He's Cowboys. I'm sure he's playing on his name. I'm going with Cowie.
It's
an interesting name. Never heard it.
It is, truly.
If your name is Cowie, let us know.
Yeah, let us know if we're saying it wrong. I mean, I guess I could have watched a video article and probably could have, they probably would have told me, but it's good, because he was planning on running for sheriff, and this sends a message that's like,
not gonna happen.
You don't get to have that kind of power over other people's lives. And I hope that this starts a, you know, domino effect with other officials who took part
certainly
in January 6th.
Certainly. Yeah. We can only hope, honestly. Yeah. Why don't we take a quick break?
Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Okay, and we're back.
All right, so we were talking a little bit about how climate change is affecting us right now with this unbelievable heat wave.
Yep.
But there are some parts of the world that are being unbelievably devastated by climate change. And right now, Pakistan is one of those countries that is really seeing the harsh realities of it. It is underwater, essentially. Their flooding is absolutely terrible. The flooding has most likely killed more than 1,300 people, destroyed more than 1.2 million homes, and affected 30 million people. About one third of Pakistan's landmass is underwater, which is about 95,000 square miles, or about the size of Wyoming.
Wow.
Yeah. If you've seen the pictures, it's so sad.
The power of water, I think we oftentimes forget about it, you know, especially since we live in a state that is more threatened by like wildfires more often. But whenever you think about like Hurricane Katrina or
Sandy,
any mass flooding situations,
yeah,
that is so scary.
It's terrifying. Yeah. There's really nowhere to run. It's terrible. So like I said, this is most likely a result of climate change. Scientists suggest that this, quote, super flood was made by global heating, which drives fiercer rains. Pakistan is also at greater risk because of its warm, wet climate already. And so I guess that there is a typical monsoon cycle where they do get like really, really heavy torrential rainfall, but it's never gone on for this long and it's never been this severe. Pakistan's climate change minister, Sherry Raymond, said that they've never seen an unbroken cycle of monsoon rains like this before. It's been going on for 8 weeks, leaving Whoa. Huge swaths of the country underwater.
Imagine just rain for 8 straight weeks.
Yeah, I can't. You can't go outside. What do you do? It's terrible.
I don't know. I mean, and you know, like with any natural disaster, you're definitely seeing things like outages, like, you know, that's very
there's so
scary.
Much
like
loss losing, of property too.
Yeah, it's losing just... property, losing energy. Like, what do? You've got 8 weeks of what? Your electricity not working, not yeah. being able to go anywhere, not being able to go to work, not being able to work from home.
Right.
Like, that's...
And so much of this is made worse because this is still technically, and I really don't like referring to countries as this, but it's a developing country, as they say. And so they say that a lot of the buildings, roads, and power lines are less fortified than in developed countries, and weather tracking and emergency services are not as advanced as well, which is really, all of this is very unfair because Pakistan gives off some of the least amount of greenhouse gases out of any country, yet they are... 8th most at risk in the world by the Global Climate Risk Index. So it truly is unfair. This country that is building itself up and really isn't doing that much damage to the world is getting such drastic, horrible effects.
Well, unfortunately, I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I mean, it's the same conversation that people have when they're talking about billionaires not caring about the emissions that they're putting out or the harm they're doing to the planet, because they have enough money and resources to make sure that themselves and their families are safe in case of a climate emergency.
Exactly.
And, you know, everyday people don't have those same resources. It's kind of the same thing where, like, the nations that have more resources have more of an ability to keep themselves more
protected,
insulated.
Yeah.
Whereas other countries just won't be able to. And that it's so selfish. It sucks so much.
It is incredibly selfish. So I had mentioned property damages earlier, and property damages are expected to reach $10 billion. And lost crops have also led to a 27% price increase on food. So that's another thing that Pakistanis are really struggling with, is being able to afford food to survive all of this as well, which is making everything that much more difficult. So
even getting food in and out of the country has got to be really difficult. You can't drive it in.
No.
From, you know, infrastructure is getting destroyed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So climate activists believe that developed countries should establish a mechanism for providing relief for climate change related disasters in developing countries. As far as the crisis in Pakistan goes, the UN has launched a $160 million relief program for Pakistan for aid. The only thing that's unfortunate about this is that it's just specifically for aid and rescue. It's not to help prevent things in the future. So
a band-aid.
Yeah, it is. But yeah. I mean, they need it. You know what I mean? Like, relief and aid needs to be sent to this country, but there also needs to be more done because this isn't changing. They're also experiencing incredible heat waves like we are. Mm-hmm. And it's going on for like months at a time.
Yeah. I mean, it's like whenever I was talking about the major heat wave that was happening in Europe a couple of months ago, devastating heat wave, people are dying, and it's only going to get worse. Like, every single climate scientist is like, this is going to become a normal part of our summers. Things are only going to get hotter. We are going to continue to see deaths.
Yeah.
Because of this. Because at this point, you can't even reverse it. Like, you can stop it.
We can maybe stop. Yeah, exactly. Well, and then even I'm thinking about winter. We think about, was it this past year that, no, it was 2 years ago that Texas had that really terrible winter.
Where Ted Cruz was like, goodbye.
Fled to Mexico with his daughter. Our summers are going to get hotter. Our winters are going to get colder. Like, we are not prepared for this. And we are also selfish that we're not able to put aside what we need to be able to support each other for these disasters in the future. So I'm hoping that there are enough people that are devoted enough to this, both inside and outside of politics, that will help make some form of change. But really, I feel like what's so disheartening is that there really hasn't been much change in our like climate culture, I guess you could call it, the past few years. Like, I really haven't heard of many positive changes.
Well, I think people are trying. The problem is that these things are being that are being implemented on like a personal responsibility level are just not enough, you know, like you can
to make a global change,
right? You can recycle clothing, you can use metal straws, you can bring your own grocery bags, like you can do all of these things, and it's not that they have no impact, you know, trying to live more sustainably.
It's just, it's all so small.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't feel like enough. And then I know I've been guilty of this, and I know it's a sentiment that I've heard a lot of other people have, where people are getting like bitter about the fact that they're like, why do I have to change everything about the way that I function on a daily basis to see such a small amount of impact in terms of protecting the environment, whenever the people who really need to be doing the change
aren't doing anything,
aren't doing it. Like, these big corporations,
it's selfishness.
Billionaires, really, really rich people, like, and
because what you said is exactly true. All of these people don't have to think about these problems because they know they're protected. They're living in a very privileged mindset, right, where they don't have to consider the effects of other people in these times.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so devastating.
It's very, very sad. So, you know.
Do you have some better news for us?
I do.
Okay, good.
I do. So, country singer Maren Morris. Have you heard about this?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I've heard. Been kind of everywhere.
I adore Maren Morris. I think she's great.
I don't know any of her music.
I really only know one song super well, but after I know her song, I Could Use a Love Song. I heard it like on a TV show or something, and I was like, I like this. And she and Margo Price and a few other like female country singers are very outwardly liberal, and they really piss off most country fans. Like, I believe Maren Morris wasn't invited to the CMAs or something.
Maybe.
There's been a few other artists where like they don't associate with the country music culture and world and very much fight against it, yet they still live and perform within that world. It's very fascinating.
Well, because you should be able to make and enjoy that music. And it's also, it is a big cultural touchstone for a lot of us that were, you know, spent time living in the Midwest or the South.
Yeah.
Like, country music is more than just this patriotic thing that it became after 9/11. Like,
yeah.
And I do enjoy like pop country.
Do you listen to Kacey Musgraves?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I listened to a little bit of Kacey Musgraves. I really love Margo Price personally. She did a great cover of You Don't Own Me.
Nice.
Right after all the abortion stuff went down, and she adds a little line in there that's like very specific to the times. Great. There are good country music people out there, I swear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this shift of like divorcing country music from those specific politics.
Yes. Like, and it's a very small, I feel like it's a small handful of these people, but they really piss off the country music industry and its fans a lot, which I love.
Shout out to the chicks for being the OGs.
My gosh, for real. They paved the way.
They really did. So this all started when Brittany Aldean, who is the wife of country music singer Jason Aldean.
Boo.
Made a transphobic remark during like a Get Ready With Me style Instagram video of herself doing her makeup. I guess she has some kind of line of something. I don't know if it's makeup or skincare or whatever, but
in makeup for the right.
Right? Well, yeah. In the video, Brittany Aldean says, quote, I'd really like to thank my parents for not changing my gender when I went through my tomboy phase. I love this girly life, which is really messed up on like a lot of,
I was gonna say, levels. There's a lot to unpack with this. Let's talk about the term tomboy.
Yeah.
Because I both love and detest it at the same time, because I think that it's kind of it's a cute moniker to give yourself. You can refer to yourself as kind of a tomboy, but I don't like this pigeonholing that it does with women that makes them different because they enjoy things that like girls aren't supposed to enjoy.
Right. I mean, I think it's interesting because I've heard a couple of different schools of thought about the word tomboy from people who either self-identify that way or are gender queer or gender fluid now. And I think on the one hand, it was a way, a socially acceptable way of being able to
express something that's quote unquote masculine.
And it was a way that, like, generally, yes, of course, there were people who didn't accept that term, but you could kind of get away, in quotes, with being like, enjoying quote unquote masculine things. And people would be like, oh, she's just a tomboy. It's okay. You know what I mean?
And usually I feel like that means they're going to grow out of it. Usually a tomboy is, it's like, you know, they enjoy, you know, the romping around when they're young, but once they get older, they're going to start getting interested in boys and they're going to want to play with makeup and all of the girly things that they were supposed to love as a kid is going to come to them.
So
you know?
On the one hand, it is this thing that allows you to have this gender expression when you're young, you know, and be kind of protected in that way. But again, people do generally think of it as like a phase. And then also, yes, it is very gendered, like, it, you know, it's it, saying tomboy means that you're which is, you know, so definitely that. And yes, there's a lot of things that are really weird and messed up and wrong with her statement. And then her husband Jason commented, LMAO, I'm glad they didn't too, because you and I wouldn't have worked out.
There are so many I cannot stand fucking straight dudes when they find out that someone is trans, or if someone makes some sort of joke about that and they're just like, no, I'm not transphobic. I just, like, I would never do that, or I would, it's just, I don't know. It just, it seems so fucking transphobic when people have to point out how straight they are, that they would never be with you if you were trans.
Yes, it is. It's very weird. And for me, I wouldn't think of that as like a cutesy thing to say, because you are reducing me to
my gender,
my gender and my genitalia. Like, that is how it feels to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so you wouldn't, are you my soulmate, but you wouldn't love me if I didn't look like this or didn't identify this way, but I was still me. That would be a problem, you know? And so I don't know. That feels weird to me.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, singer-songwriter Cassidy Pope criticized Brittany Aldean's comments on social media. She said, quote, you'd think celebs with beauty brands would see the positives in including LGBTQ plus people in their messaging. But instead, here we are hearing someone compare their tomboy phase to someone wanting to transition. Real nice. And that's when Maren Morris, who's a country singer, replied to her message in a tweet saying, quote, it's so easy to, like, not be a scumbag human. Sell your clip-ins and zip it, Insurrection Barbie. So I guess she sells clip-ins. There you go.
Yeah.
Brittany Aldean doubled down on being a shitty person by responding to the backlash in a lengthy statement where she wrote that, quote, advocating for the genital mutilation of children under the disguise of love and calling it gender-affirming care is one of the worst evils.
Do they have a son, and did you have your son circumcised?
They have daughters.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's also technically genital mutilation as well. And a trans, first of all.
And not even as well. I don't consider a decision that you have made to affirm your gender to be like.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, if we're going to get like technical on this, and then saying that that is genital mutilation, one, doesn't make any sense. And two, it shows how little education she has on childcare for people who are going through transition or who do have, you know, who are on the non-binary spectrum. Wow, I can't speak. But it just shows her lack of education, because I think that the people on the right have this idea of a child coming out and then going into surgery the next day.
Right. Yes.
Absolutely. Instead of understanding the intricacies of what it means for someone to be both psychologically and physically supported within their transition, instead of seeing it in such a grotesque way. And it really is, it's very similar to how the baby killer message about abortion really sticks in people's minds, because it's very it's really driven on emotion.
Right.
I feel like referring to something as genital mutilation also stirs up a lot of emotion in people and will prevent them from getting that education about it.
Yeah. I mean, and the right has been very deliberate in their messaging, and it has centered very much around children. We have to save the children. We have to protect the children. It's the same thing we saw with QAnon. We see it with anti-tracers. We see it.
It's this great disguise that they attempt to use.
Absolutely. Because everybody can get behind wanting to keep children safe. So if they can just find a way to twist absolutely anything and make it about keeping children safe, then, you know, who could argue with that?
I have to raise my hand for a question.
Yes, ma'am.
If keeping children was safe was so important, why did nothing happen after Sandy Hook?
Why does Matt Gaetz still get to represent our country whenever, like, didn't he traffic like a 17-year-old?
He's a fucking pedophile. Like, so, I don't get it, and I want out.
No, it doesn't make sense. It's a false equivalency. It's not about keeping children safe, or else they would have provisions that protect 12-year-olds who get
pregnant.
Would
be gun safety. There would be birth control. There would be more mental health access and support for people who are going through transition, who are coming out, all of these different things. If you truly want to protect children, you're going to put those resources in place.
Yeah.
Rather than blasphemously saying these clickbait messages on your social media. It's disgusting.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense. But it is very deliberately done. And if you look at any big ticket issue on the right, that is almost always what they're pointing to. They're almost always saying, you know, whether it's banning books or it's kids being able to go to drag queen brunches or what have you, you know.
It's all for the kids, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Just to keep them safe. So she continued in her post by comparing being transgender to one of her children wanting to be a dinosaur or a cat.
You know, this was like when gay marriage was legalized and they were like, what's next? We can marry our pets? It's like, you people are so stupid.
Yeah, what's wrong with you that's...
The two do not equate, but
They certainly do not. The response to this was largely negative, resulting in Jason Aldean's PR team of 17 years announcing that it was dropping him.
Oh, shit.
His PR team was like, no.
We can't clean this one up. Sorry, buddy.
This looks really bad for us. Later that day, Brittany appeared on Tucker Carlson to defend her comments. During that segment, Carlson described Maren Morris as a, quote, lunatic country music person.
Yep. Oh, have you seen her merch?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
Were you going to mention that? There. Okay, yeah. Get to it.
So the next day, Maren Morris shared a screenshot from the show on Twitter with the caption, hashtag new profile pic. And it is a pic of her. And then underneath it, like, Fox News is so silly. Like, the fact that they put lunatic country music person, like,
in writing.
Yeah, like, underneath her. It wasn't just something that Tucker said, like, somebody wrote that and put it. And so she screenshotted it and was like, new profile pic on Twitter. She later shared a photo of a t-shirt with a link to her website. The t-shirt includes her name and lunatic country music person, and then a phone number for Trans Lifeline, a peer support and crisis hotline for transgender people. She said the proceeds for the shirt would be split between Trans Lifeline and the transgender media program at GLAAD, an LGBTQ media advocacy group. They put that in here. That was a copy paste. They put that in here and I'm like, yeah, we know what GLAAD is.
Well, everyone knows what fucking GLAAD is.
Just 2 hours after that, she said that the shirt had raised $63,000. And then on Saturday, she said that the total had surpassed $100,000. So
wow.
I don't know how much it has made since Saturday, but we can guess more money. Both the Trans Lifeline and GLAAD thanked Maren Morris. They said, Maren, huge thanks for your support of a world where trans people have all that we need to survive and thrive. And that was from Trans Lifeline. But the shirts are great if you feel so inclined, if you want one. I think they're still for sale. But
yeah, we can put a link in the bio or in the show notes or whatever. Yeah.
And you can also, I'm sure, find it all over her social media as well. But I just thought that was so great. It's this thing that's just like pointing out how absolutely ridiculous and hateful this thing is and turning it into a positive. And it's nice to see so much support for Maren Morris. I have seen a lot of Team Brittany in comments for things as well, which if you want to out yourself like that, I mean, I guess that's on you.
I guess.
But I thought that was really great of her.
Thank you, Maren. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. So those are all the news topics we have for you today. If there's anything that you want us to cover next week, you can email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on our Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with your fellow listeners on the group page. We've got some merch available as well if you want to hit that link in the show notes. If you haven't done so already, we would love to see a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you haven't done so already, we would greatly appreciate it. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the past?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.